Georgia alone to punish mob, says governor. The Atlanta Journal, Friday, the 20th of August, 1915, page 1, column 4. This state will bring lynchers to justice, says Governor Harris, deprecating outside offers of reward. Governor Nat E. Harris on Friday expressed his regret because of the disposition outside of Georgia to interfere and give advice in handling the situation precipitated by the lynching of Leo M. Frank. His opinion is that these things will be resented by the people of Georgia and will do more harm than good. The lynching was a crime against the civilization of our state and a blot upon Georgia's fair name that cannot be erased, said the governor. None of us approve of mob violence or lynch law, and all of us regret what has happened. I have and will continue to exert every power at my command to bring the members of the mob to justice. But if the members of the mob are brought to justice, it will be through the courageous efforts of Georgia officials and courts, supported by the sentiment of the citizens of the state, and not through the newspaper editorials and resolutions of indignation and offers of rewards coming from other states. I am afraid these things will only serve to aggravate a situation that already is deeply humiliating to our people, and if they continue, will eventuate in a great deal more harm than good by defeating the efforts of the state to apprehend the guilty parties. Among the many telegrams, letters, newspaper editorials, cartoons, etc., criticizing the state that have come to the governor's office since the lynching was one of a very different tone that arrived Friday, a telegram signed by Joseph Morton and sent from St. Joseph Moati, in which he expressed sentiments similar to those expressed by the governor above. The telegram reads as follows. Dispatches in the newspapers indicate that outsiders are again proposing to meddle with the internal affairs of the state of Georgia. I marvel that your people have been patient. I protest against this persistence of provocation. Every right-thinking man must recognize the propriety of silence on the part of outsiders in this, the hour of your perplexity. I trust the word may be told in no uncertain terms that Georgia still retains her sovereignty and that her people of themselves are adequate to all demands that justice and good government may make upon them. The governor's conference with the judges, solicitors, and sheriffs of Baldwin and Cobb counties for the purpose of urging them to put forth every possible effort to apprehend the members of the mob will be held as soon as these officials can arrange to come to his office. Details of this conference, as well as the governor's offer of a reward for the apprehension of the lynchers and his statement to the public concerning the lynching, are given elsewhere in this issue of the Journal. Page 3, Column 2. Letter from Frank reaches Brooklyn after his death. Mahatwao tells aged mother of his first meal with wife since he was attacked by prisoner by Associated Press. New York, August 20. Frank's mother today made public the last letter she received from her son. The letter reached Brooklyn yesterday, having been written on the night of August 15, the evening before Frank was lynched. He wrote, I am sitting up in a rocking chair as I write this. I am very much stronger. At dinner today, I sat to table with my dear Lucille. I have been sitting in a chair for an hour or so each day for the past few days. I am gradually learning to walk after the long stay in bed. Frank added that his wound was healing rapidly and he was able to move his head pretty well. He concluded, Give my regards to all inquiring friends, with much love to you and all, in which Lucille joins me. Mrs. Frank, in her talk with reporters today, was asked if she forgave the men who lynched her son. Do not ask me whether I forgive the murderers of my son, said Mrs. Frank. Perhaps someday I will be able to answer that. Just now I can only quote Leo's favorite passage from the scriptures. It was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I might add, but they will sometime. Dr. Adler declares Georgia alone should seek lynchers by Associated Press. New York, August 20. prominent Christians and Jews met here today to discuss plans for aiding Georgia to apprehend the men who lynched Leo M. Frank. Isidore M. Levy, member of the Board of Education, who is interested in the movement, said a temporary organization had been affected, and within a few days, a strong appeal probably would be made to Governor Harris. Dr. Cyrus Adler, chairman of the American Jewish Committee, said he declined to work with the committee and did not believe his committee would aid in the matter. He said he thought the hunt for Frank's slayers was a matter for Georgia authorities. Page 7. Column 2. Harris to urge court to punish lynchers. Nathlau, governor to confer with judges, solicitors and sheriffs of Baldwin and Cobb. Governor Harris stated, Friday he will request the judges, solicitors and sheriffs of Baldwin and Cobb counties to call upon him in his office for the purpose of urging them to exert their utmost efforts to bring to justice the members of the mob that removed Leo M. Frank from the state prison farm at Milledgeville last Monday night, carried him more than 100 miles in automobiles to a point near Marietta, and hanged him to the limb of a tree. I will ask the judges to charge the grand juries especially on this subject, and will ask the solicitors to make every effort to ascertain the guilty parties, and will ask the sheriffs to cooperate fully with the solicitors and judges, said the governor. The lynching of Frank was a blot upon the fair name of our state that can never be erased unless the guilty men are punished to the limit of the law. The governor explained that Baldwin and Cobb are the counties elected for the reason that Milledgeville, in Baldwin County, is where the removal of the prisoner from the state prison took place, and that the spot where Frank was hanged, in Cobb County, is the location of the taking of Frank's life by the mob. The governor, late Thursday afternoon, issued a statement to the public concerning the lynching of Frank and issued a reward of $500 each for the apprehension of any three members of the mob, making the total reward $1,500. It was the governor's intention to offer five rewards of $500 each, making a total of $2,500. But on examining the record of rewards already offered, he found that the total is $7,500, and inasmuch as the total amount available for rewards is only $3,000, the governor felt that $1,500 was the limit he could offer in the Frank lynching. Language of reward. The governor's reward proclamation deals with the lynching in very strong language. It says, Executive Department, Atlanta, Augener 19, 1915. Whereas, official information has been received at this department that on the night of August 16, 1915, in this state, one Leo M. Frank, a prisoner, held in custody of the state, was violently taken from the hospital of the state penitentiary in Baldwin County and found dead in the county of Cobb on the morning of August 17, 1915, having met his death at the hands of unknown parties, and whereas, those engaged in such transactions are still unknown and unapprehended, and, whereas, such conduct is an attack upon our civilization, besides being a gross violation of law, which is the dignity of the state and the good name of her people require to be fully investigated and the offenders brought to punishment. Ordered that the Secretary of State record and issue a proclamation offering a reward of $500 each for the first three persons convicted of said offense, for their apprehension and delivery to the Sheriff of Baldwin or Cobb County, with evidence sufficient to convict. Signed, N. E. Harris, Governor. By the Governor, Raymond Stapleton, Secretary, Executive Department, Houghton. Governor's Statement. Governor Harris's statement is in full as follows. In view of the great interest felt in all matters concerning the lynching of the prisoner Frank, I have thought it well to make a statement to the public, explaining as far as I can the facts that led up to the transaction and the situation that made it possible. Under the laws of Georgia, all able-bodied male convicts are sentenced and worked on the chain gangs of the different counties, or the public works of the state. There is a state farm at Milledgeville, primarily intended for the broken-down convicts, those who are sickly and unable to do service on the roads, for all female convicts, and for all boys not over 16 years of age. The prison commission may direct some convicts sent to the farm whose services can be utilized in the office or do other work on the farm, but generally these convicts are kept upon the roads of the several counties as long as they are able to perform the work required of them. Sometimes the trial judge sentences a prisoner to the state farm in order to avoid hardships of the county chain gang. This can be done by the presiding judge. There are some 800 prisoners on the state farm, counting the women, boys, and other prisoners. When Mr. Frank's sentence was commuted by Governor Slayton to life imprisonment, he was sent to the state farm for the purpose of being delivered to the prison commission at that point. He could have been sent by the commission to one of the county chain gangs of the state, or put to work in the prison, in the discretion of the commission. Action not safe. The excitement which attended his entrance in the prison was such that no disposition that would send him away from it seemed safe or advisable. As after events have shown, there was really no gang in Georgia where he would have been secure. He was kept at work, therefore, in the prison as other prisoners, awaiting any other disposition that might be found advisable. The state penitentiary, as it is called, was never built with the idea of preventing an attack from the outside. Any determined body of men would be able to effect an entrance if such an attempt was decided upon. There was no stockade around the prison, only a wire fence. It was found cut at the time of the attack and could have easily been penetrated at any point. The vast building was full of windows, both in the basement and main story. It was like a dormitory, one great sleeping apartment, the prisoners working out upon the farm in day and occupying the sleeping dormitory at night. The cots stood side by side, in easy proximity. This method of taking care of the prisoners at night has been found to be the healthiest in the South, said, "I was wrong when I asked the legislature at their recent session to appropriate money to be used in building separate cells for the prison farm. Some newspapers took up the matter and contended with much force that I was entirely wrong. In my consultation with the prison commission over Mr. Frank, we felt and thought of the need of more guards, more wardens. But the idea was that these were needed to prevent his fellow prisoners from hurting him. I felt that there was too much exposure in letting the prisoners all sleep together in the same great room, but the outside attack was not thought of in this. Such danger was thought to be very small after the first month. It was believed that, if a prison guard could hold an attacking party in check long enough to get word to the authorities, the prisoners could be protected. The county authorities were close at hand, and there was one of the best military companies in the state within 2 miles of the prison. This company, with the militia in Macon, had been directed by the adjutant general to keep in readiness for immediate service, if called on. The complete secrecy of the movement, the careful preparation of every detail, the cutting of the telephone and telegraph wires, thus completely isolating the prison from the outside world, prevented any expected assistance and enabled the attack to succeed. There is no provision of law for keeping a military guard over the state farm. This would be impossible under our existing statute, as the governor cannot use the military unless the civil authorities first request it. Must consult authorities. I would have called out the militia to prevent an invasion of the state's property. But even in such a case, it is considered necessary to consult the civil authorities first, and simply use the militia to aid them. Some 4 weeks ago, I received an alarm in the form of a secret message to the effect that a mob intended to storm the prison and lynch Frank on a certain night. I at once telephoned the authorities in charge, including the prison commission, the warden at the state farm, the sheriff of Baldwin County, and Captain Ennis of the Baldwin Rifles. I secured the proper request from the civil authorities and immediately had General Nash to get in readiness to handle any local situation that might arise, and Captain Ennis was directed to call his men to the armory, prepared to go to the farm at once. The Macon military was also put under arms. For this course, I incurred considerable censure, for the alarm seemed to be entirely unfounded, and the people most concerned felt that I had done them an injustice, even threatening to call an indignation meeting to protest against the course I had adopted. It has come to light since the result of Monday night's work that my prompt action in this matter delayed the lynching of the prisoner for a month, as the mob, coming in a few miles of Milledgeville and hearing of the preparation, decided to postpone the attack. On Monday night, the militia would have been called out had the request been made in time. It seems that the mob went to the prison at about 10 o'clock in the night. I knew nothing of the occurrence until about 1:45 Tuesday morning, when I was called over the telephone by a Constitution reporter, who stated to me that a mob had taken Frank from the prison and lynched him sometime between 10 and 11 o'clock that night. I was shocked beyond measure by the information. Lines were down. I had been working through 5 days following the legislature's adjournment, reading and signing bills with very little cessation, night or day, for the whole 5 days, and was completely exhausted. Nevertheless, immediate effort was made to get in communication with the sheriff of Baldwin County, but the lines being down, no information could be obtained. The sheriffs in several counties along the route which it was believed the mob was traveling were notified to keep a sharp lookout for the party. The sheriffs of Putnam, Morgan, Newton, Rockdale, Fulton, and Cobb were notified. It is now understood, however, from the subsequent events, that the party with Frank had passed north about an hour and a half before the county authorities on the road were reached. Near daylight, I was called by Colonel Haas, one of the lawyers of Frank, who stated that he had just received a message to the effect that Frank was lynched between Milledgeville and Macon, and said that an agent of the Central of Georgia Railroad at some point had given him his information. I had an engagement to go to Fitzgerald to the old soldiers' reunion on Tuesday morning, but when I heard of the lynching, decided to postpone the journey. At 6 o'clock, however, I tried again to telephone and found that it was generally believed that the prisoner had been lynched some time before, and so I finally decided to go on to Fitzgerald, directing my secretaries to keep in touch with me all the way over the road, so that should the occasion arise, I might issue any necessary orders instanter. Adjutant General Nash had been duly notified and was ready to take appropriate steps to control the militia if the word had been received. The tragic result. The public is advised of the unfortunate and tragic result. I have found on inquiry of the prison commission that Frank was still in the hospital, confined to the single room where he had been kept since the attempt upon his life by William Crean. He had not been taken into the common quarters, which, though under the same roof with the prison, is separated from it by partitions and passageways extending through the building. There is no man in the bounds of the state that regrets more deeply than I do this unfortunate occurrence. I shall do all in my power to discover and bring to justice the perpetrators, believing that the people at large do not justify the wave of lawlessness that seems to be spreading throughout the state. Mob law should never take the place of statute law. There will be no safety to life, liberty, or property until this is recognized by our people. It was especially distressing to me because the attack was made upon the state's own prison, built not to resist the violence of its citizens outside, but to keep in confinement the weak and helpless convicts who were unfit for service in the chain gangs of the counties. Frank's body is buried at Mount Carmel, Brooklyn, by Associated Press. Leo M. Frank, who was lynched near Marietta, Georgia, was buried in Mount Carmel Cemetery, Brooklyn. The automobile hearse and the cars carrying the immediate relatives of the dead man traveled at a high rate of speed over the 6-mile route from the home of Frank's parents to the cemetery in a vain attempt to elude newspaper men and photographers. Frank's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Rudolph Frank, the widow and Frank's sister, Mrs. Otto Stern, and her husband occupied the automobile that followed the hearse. A dozen other relatives and friends occupied three additional automobiles. A crowd of scarcely more than 100 people was in front of the Frank home when the body was carried out at 9:10 o'clock. 20 minutes later, the hearse had arrived at the cemetery, and 10 minutes after that, the last burial services were concluded. About 40 curious persons were in the cemetery when Frank's body arrived, and they crowded close to the grave during the services. Perfect order was maintained both at the Frank home and at the cemetery, and the police at both places found nothing to do. Mrs. Lucille Frank, the widow, appeared calm and restrained until the burial service had concluded. Then she collapsed and was carried to an automobile. The services were conducted by Rabbi David Marks of Atlanta.